Let us begin our anniversary service by singing hymn number 920 to the tune Dismissal 671. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below, ransomed mortals, join to swell the sacred song. Ye who find yourselves polluted, feel your hearts a sink of sin, ye shall have, by God imputed, righteousness that's white and clean. 'Tis the garment wove by everlasting love. Hymn number 920.
Lord. To read from the book of Genesis, part of chapters 15 and 22. Genesis chapter 15. And we'll read the first six verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each living prayer. O Lord God Almighty, help us to approach thee. Draw us, Lord, with the cords of a man, with the bands of love. O send thy Holy Spirit down, we pray, to conduct us rightly to thee, Lord, in godly fear, in reverence, Lord, in realization of our condition before thee, Lord, in faith. O blessed Spirit, conduct thy sinner train to Calvary where the Lamb was slain. Oh, we plead that sin-atoning sacrifice. We've nothing else, Lord. And nothing else canst thou receive. Oh, give us a single eye, we do pray. Lord, save us from that eye that peeps and squints some other way. And Lord, save us from blindness. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that we may see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Lord, open our eyes, we pray. Give the sight of faith. O Lord, we plead thy word. The blind receive their sight. Oh, may we prove tonight that the day of miracles is not over. Surely it will not be till thy miracles are complete and all thy blood-bought people are around thy throne without sin, without, Lord, all these enemies that we now have within and about us, without a veil between. Oh, we do pray, grant that miracle tonight, that we might believe on thy Son, and in believing, have that blessed hope that one day we shall be with him, and with thee, Heavenly Father, and with thee, Blessed Spirit, the Triune Jehovah. Grant a thankful heart for thy mercies on this anniversary occasion. Another year of our lives has swiftly passed. Lord, for what mercy thou hast bestowed upon us. Mercies countless as the sands, providential, preserving, providing, upholding, maintaining. And Lord, we humbly trust, if not dreadfully deceived, least as some of us. Lord, those greater mercies of thy grace in thy dear Son. O Lord, every prayer that thou hast put in our hearts is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, every desire thou hast given us is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every answer thou hast bestowed, every word spoken, Lord, every deliverance given, every needed strength in our great weakness, it is all of thy grace, Lord. Oh, we deserve thy eternal wrath. Oh, we thank thee then, Lord, wherein we have received thy mercy, the least of which we are not worthy of. We thank thee for upholding this people, their pastor, their deacons, Lord, thy servants that go forth from this place, each member of this church, those that fear thee in the congregation. We thank thee that thou hast kept this people coming up to this place. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon them, even as Moses sought. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Do build this church and the churches represented here this evening. Thy dear servants, Lord, help them, uphold them in the battle, in the warfare. Lord, do make them strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, in their extreme weakness, may they prove thy strength made perfect. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit. Lord, we're at that season of the year, that time of the year corresponding with the day of Pentecost. that day that thou hadst promised years, centuries before, and thou didst fulfill that promise. And thy Spirit was poured out, and many were saved, and thy church was built up, established and blessed. Oh, we do pray for thee, same Holy Spirit. Lord, come down. Oh, raise our souls above the ground. Deliver us, Lord, from all the unspiritual religion. Lord, and grant us a Holy Ghost religion, true conviction of sin, true gospel repentance and faith, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Oh, that establishment in the truth, that witnessing of the Spirit. And now it's those that have come in here this evening with that desire. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. We thank thee, Lord, for those evidences that we have that thy Spirit is not altogether taken. But still, Lord, we mourn. For, Lord, the work seems to be at such a low ebb. Oh, may we not be left to despise the day of small things. But, oh, may we be led to ask, to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, and to wait. Lord, we do need in this day in the church, not only personally, Lord, but in the matter of the ministry, we do need thy Spirit. There may be power in the pulpit, that sinners may be powerfully wrought upon, convinced of sin, and recovered from backslidings and lukewarmness. And Lord, delivered from idolatry. But Lord, we do need thy Spirit in the teaching of men and anointing of men, for the solemn and holy work of the ministry. We do pray for it. Thou hast bidden us do so. And we would pray that thou wouldst send forth labourers into thy harvest. Lord, and help those whom thou hast sent forth. Strengthen our aged brethren according to thy will. And Lord, strengthen each one. Let them dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable to the brethren. Do so be with them, that thy people shall have to say, now I know that thou art the servant of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is with thee. Lord, help us then. Bless the pastor of this cause. Help him in his pastoral, ministerial, and editorial labours. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst be with his tongue, be in his heart, be with his pen. Lord, have mercy, we pray, for Zion. Lord, oh, do bless the labours of each of thy servants in that sphere thou hast placed them. Help the families. We thank thee for the children's presence, the young people. We pray, Lord, there may be something for them. May the sheep and lambs be fed tonight. Oh, save, we beseech thee. It's thy work, Lord. Oh, we do pray, bless Zion. Increase her with families like a flock, as the holy flock in the solemn feast at Jerusalem, the city of the great King. Comfort the bereaved. We pray that thou wouldst grant that comfort which only thou canst give. Lord, that witness of thy Spirit, Lord, where it is so in the case of those that they mourn, that they are with Christ, which is far better. Lord, we do pray for those who are coming down to the end now. Indeed, none of us know. Ere this day is over, we may be in eternity. But Lord, we bear before thee those that according to appearances are close to that river or in the midst of it. Oh Lord, do appear. And grant, Lord, to thy people thy presence, according to thy promise, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. We pray the same for those in the waters and the fires of affliction, bodily and circumstantial, whatever it be. Help thy tried people. Lord, in mercy, try us. For thou dost only try the righteous. Thou said of thy people, I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Lord, leave us not to come down to our end. The lie in our right hand, deceived. Having a profession and no possession of Christ. Lord, purge away our tin and our dross. Restore our judges as at the first and our counsellors as at the beginning. Pardon all we ask of this. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 225 to the tune Franconia 31. Faith, 'tis a precious grace, where'er it is bestowed. It boasts of a celestial birth and is the gift of God. Jesus, it owns a king, an all-atoning priest. It claims no merit of its own, but looks for all in Christ. Hymn number 225.
Thank you.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, reading verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. How did he believe in the Lord? Well, surely it is by what we read at the beginning of this chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. That's how he believed in the Lord, and that is how every one of the Lord's people believe in him. He speaks to them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is special, particular, peculiar, individual ministry of the Lord unto each of his people. The shepherd of Israel, the good shepherd, he said, my sheep, those whom his father had given him, those whom he had undertaken to be their shepherd, those who at that time he was to lay down his life for, those who for whom he has now laid down his life, he says, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He believed in the Lord. Now Abraham is set forth by the Holy Spirit as one of the examples in the scripture of what it is really to believe. He was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. My dear friend, if faith doesn't separate you from this world, it's not the faith of God's elect. Faith is a cleansing grace right from the very beginning. And you see, it is completely unnatural. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. You, dear children and young people and older ones too, ask God for a spiritual religion. Ask him, as I tried to in my prayer tonight, to save us from a natural one, a fleshly one. And what will the spiritual religion do for us? He will conquer our sin. He will crucify self. It will bring us down. You see, that word I just quoted from the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in the wisdom which the Spirit teacheth. It's the opposite way to what man's wisdom teaches. Man's wisdom teaches that a sinner gets better and better till he comes to the mountain top and then he knows Christ. But the things which the Holy Spirit teaches that are very opposite of that. Down, 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 down. And you think you've got to the bottom, but you haven't. And so you must go deeper, and there is where you find Christ. He brought me up, says the psalmist, out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto the Lord. Why must it be down and down? Why, my dear friend, there's a lot of weakening to be done. There's a lot of slaying to be done. My dear friend, Hannah, she said, didn't she? The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. You see, that way which man teaches, it centres in man. What man can do, man's will, man's work, man's understanding. What folly to think that man, by his own understanding, can know God, can believe in God. To think that man, by his own work, can do something to please God. No. Abraham believed in the Lord. Now you see, we must try and notice what it was the Lord said unto Abraham. He gave him this wonderful promise. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And just venture to mention, the Lord spoke that very word to me years ago. And I believe I prove what Abraham proved here. That when the Lord speaks, we can believe him. And when he speaks, he gives us a word to rest on, a staff, as David puts it in Psalm 23. Nothing else to go upon. But my dear friend, you don't need anything else to go upon. There is nothing else. Sinner, what a mercy if the Lord is dealing with you and me in this way. He's showing us the corruptions of our heart, bringing upon us great troubles, leading us in paths that we've not known, bringing us to that point. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. You see, I proved him faithful to his word. He was my shield. And then the blessing he gives, that exceeding great reward, but my dear friend, I haven't yet the fulfillment of that word in the whole fulfillment of it. Abraham has entered into it now. Although there is yet something more for Abraham to be granted of this exceeding great reward, when his dust will be raised, changed, a body formed for him like unto his Saviour's body, without sin, without guile. But in particular, the word that the Lord spoke, which Abraham believed, was concerning this matter that he was burdened concerning. He had no child. He and his wife were a barren couple. And that sets forth the case of every one of the Lord's people. Hannah is a type. She was a child of God herself, but she's a type of all the Lord's people. The Lord had shut up her womb. But you see, he fulfilled that word in the psalm, he maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. But how? Not in the ordinary way that Peninnah bare children. The Lord's purpose in the inhabiting of the earth, the multitudes that are brought forth by the Lord every day on this world, on this earth. But in that miraculous way. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You see, if the Lord is dealing with you, my dear friend, as he was dealing with Abraham, you will have a burden to have something more than you have got. By nature. Yea, to have something more than you have now. Paul had it, didn't he, when he wrote to the Philippians, I count not myself to have apprehended. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do I speak to sinners here this evening, and the Lord is dealing with you in that way, and you have a gracious discontent? What is a gracious discontent? Rutherford expresses it. Oh, that I had not of myself, but Christ. Not of my lust, but Christ. Not of my will, but Christ. Or are you satisfied with the child that is in your house? You satisfied with being a sinner? Satisfied with living at such a distance from God? Satisfied with not knowing the forgiveness of your sins? Satisfied with being a strict Baptist in name? Satisfied with going up to the house of God? The hymn writer says, doesn't he? The worldling treads thy court with solemn weekly stake and content to see the place and such as there resort. But ah, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? I thought earlier today of those Greeks, sir, we would see Jesus. And that's Abraham's exercise. Though it is not expressed in words in that way, that's really what it is. And how you say, how do you know that? Because that is what the Lord showed him in answer to his inquiry, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Oh, the dissatisfactoriness, the unsatisfactoriness of every one of the human race by ordinary generation. To which of the saints wilt thou turn? Oh, to what thing in this world, my dear friend, can you turn and your soul be satisfied and be blessed? You find within such sin, such guile, such darkness, such wretchedness, such death, such ungodliness, such unholiness. Do you find it? Surely then, if you find this by the Holy Spirit's teaching, he will not leave you there. He'll not leave you content to say, oh, what a poor sinner I am. No, if you really feel to be a poor sinner, if you really feel to be heading for hell, if you really feel to be miserable because of sin, how can you rest there? The Spirit won't let you. His purpose in convincing of sin is to bring to Christ. That's what I've often said in trying to set forth the difference between natural conviction of sin and that which is of the Spirit. Those self-righteous men who had brought the woman to Jesus, taken in adultery, when Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone, they were convinced of sin. But what did they do? They went out. They went out. You who sit under the sound of the truth, where it is faithfully preached, sin is set before you. The holy law is set before you. Oh, does the Spirit ever so convince you of sin that you're found where that woman was rather than where those men were that went out and the woman was left alone with Jesus? Where are now thine accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? No man, Lord. Oh, but if I know anything of it, my dear friend, that woman in her heart, she was asking the question, but Lord, what art thou going to say? Art thou going to condemn me? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came unto him. This is the secret, my dear friend. Why did it come unto him? God loved him. That's why it came unto him. God had a purpose concerning him. That's why it came unto him. You see, that's the anxiety in the heart of a sinner quickened by the Spirit who mourns the Lord's silence. Does his silence mean the Lord doesn't love me? Does his silence mean he hasn't got a purpose toward me? If he never speaks to you, my dear friend, that proves he doesn't love you. If he never speaks to you, that proves he has no purpose of grace toward you. But those whom he does speak to, oh, the very most unlikely characters. That woman I've mentioned, Mary Magdalene. Sovereignty. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. My dear friend, and I cannot speak of a greater mercy than for the Lord to speak to you. I cannot count any mercy the Lord gives to me more than that. The things he has said to me, my dear friend. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. This shall not be thine heir. Poor sinner, tonight this is the word of the gospel. This shall not be thine heir. This poor nature of yours, this wicked heart of yours, this sinful mind of yours, These sinful eyes and hands and feet and every member of your body, this shall not be thine heir. No, Abraham. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You know Isaac, whom the Lord speaks to Abraham of here, he in many ways is a type of Christ. Firstly, even in this description here, he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. For the Saviour, Abraham's Saviour, was to be born of a woman. God's eternal and co-equal Son was in the fullness of time sent forth, made of a woman, made under the law. In that sense, the seed of Abraham, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. But oh, not by ordinary generation. And therefore that child, that holy thing that the angel spake to Mary of, that holy thing, shall be called the Son of God. The man who is without sin. The man who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The man who couldn't sin. But the man who is the Son of God. Why, if he were a perfect man, he would be of no use to us, my dear friend. The only Saviour must be God and man. In one glorious person. That by that glorious righteousness which he wrought out in his holy life and in his sin-atoning death, sinners should have a divine righteousness wrought in the man. That blessed atonement, that blood which he shed, being the blood of the Son of God, alone has sufficient power to remove those innumerable sins, and as they are sins against God. That's why a perfect man would be of no use to you and me, my dear friend, because our sins aren't against man, they're against God. But God himself comes down and takes our nature. And he redeems the church of God with his own precious blood. Nor could I upon him rely, says John Newton, unless I was sure he were God. That miraculous birth of Isaac is a faint illustration of the greater miraculous birth of Christ. And then that chapter that we read, which recorded the command of God to Abraham to take his son and offer him for a burnt offering. Then again Isaac fulfills the position of the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father sacrificing his Son. He did so. How? How he believed in the Lord. In the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11, the Holy Spirit kindly unfolds something that Genesis hides. concerning what was in Abraham's heart at the time when he went to the Mount Moriah, saying, God himself shall provide a lamb for a burnt offering. He believed that God was able to raise his son from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is the Lord he believed in. He believed in the Lord. Again, when Abraham sought a wife for Isaac, again he fulfills the position of a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father in eternity past gave a bride to his son, and his son to her, his bride. Then in the glass of his decree, Christ and his bride appeared as one, her sins by imputation his, while she in spotless splendor shone. But that bride must be obtained experimentally. You know, we do believe this. I believe if we're taught of God. May the Lord teach you young ones of this. That the Lord chooses the husband or the wife for his people. Ask him. He says, ask and it shall be given thee. Abraham sent his servant to seek that bride, and the Holy Spirit directed him, and in a miraculous way found that very person. You see how much there is said in many quarters about outreach, about seeking souls and so on. But the Word of God makes it clear, my dear friend, that it is the Lord's work, not man's. May the Lord help us to believe in him. That is, to put all our trust in him. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts also shall be established. But in that wonderful way that that girl Rebecca was found by God, those gifts that were given to her by Abraham's servant, setting forth those words of truth that the Lord speaks to his bride who he is wooing. The precious truths, these are the jewels that are set forth by what Abraham's servant gave to Rebecca. And then there comes that point, doesn't there? And the question is put to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The hand of the Lord, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. You know, oh, what a blessed thing this is when the Lord works. Paul, in one of his epistles, in fact, I think he mentions it in more than one place, where he's speaking to one church in an epistle about what the Lord was doing in another church, or where he's speaking to one church, the Thessalonians in one case, And he speaks to them of the work of God in their souls and the effect of that work upon them, so that we have need to say nothing. We don't need to tell these other churches, you know, the Lord has saved that people. There was a witness of it in their life, in the change in their behavior, in the change in their spirit, in the change in the course of their life. And he is the same today. Oh, may we know his blessing in a greater measure. May you know it here as a church and people. That, and you know, going back to that point I mentioned just now concerning what people speak of as outreach, thinking that people can be brought in, you know, that is the thing that the Lord uses in the world, where he shows himself in his people. Paul says, be ye followers of me. Why? Because I'm Paul? No. Because Christ is in me. Oh, my dear friend, do people see Christ in us? I'm sure it is a grief to the Lord's people when Christ does not appear in them. Old Adam appears. We bear the image of the earthy. My dear friend, the Lord bring us in repentance to his feet, to get a word from him, to get a vision by faith, to get a touch of his love, or to get a softening of our heart, to get our affection set on him, and then this earth will not appear to be our rest. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. But he that should come forth out of thine own bowels should be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. That's always the direction the Lord tells his people to look, isn't it? Look now toward heaven. I know there was that in it, that there in the natural heaven were all the stars that the Lord was going to use in describing to Abraham how great the number of his seed was going to be, but don't let us pass over this point, my dear friend. Wasn't it dear Mr. Raven that said the outlook is bleak? And if it was so in his day, it's much more so today. And the inlook is bleak too, isn't it? When I look within, can I deem myself a child? All is dark. But God said to Abraham, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if they'll be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Now, what a great thing it was. God called Abraham to believe. That's what he always does. That which God speaks to his people is always greater than we can comprehend with our natural minds. I spoke earlier of that going down. Is that preparation, my dear friend? When you're down there in the grave, when you're down there in the miry pit, when you're down there in natural complete hopelessness, You need one of these great words of Jehovah, don't you? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But Paul says, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And that has been fulfilled in you, child of God, wherever God has preached his Son into your heart, to you. That great love that is set forth there, the unspeakable love, the unsearchable love, the immeasurable love that moved the Father to give his Son and moved the Son to come and take our nature to stoop so low, to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To save sinners altogether of his grace, having no respect whatsoever to the person with regard to what they have been, what they are, what they have done, or what they could do, but altogether according to his purpose and choice. But to take the sins of this people and bear them himself, the sins against him. And holy God, for God to come down into the nature of man, to bear those sins, to suffer being tempted, to defeat the devil according to the oldest promise in the book, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And all because of his grace, all in his mercy. What a great thing God speaks to his people. And he shows the greatness of his power in that his people believe that. But not always do they. Though, as I said, Abraham is set forth in the Scriptures as an eminent example of faith, the Scripture doesn't hide the truth that that faith was altogether of God, because Abraham, he didn't always believe. Sarah, neither. She laughed. Why is it, my dear friend? Why is it? Why? Firstly, it is Abraham and Sarah, they're both in heaven. And their song is altogether glory to God. There's no glory to them. They cannot in heaven this night mention anything but the grace and the faithfulness of God. They cannot say we always believed. They cannot say we never swerved. Nor can any child of God. That no man shall glory in his presence. So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. It is significant there, the Lord. That is the name by which God makes himself known in the way of grace and of mercy. The way in which he makes himself known, in which he receives sinners, he pardons sinners, he saves sinners. He is the King over the sinner, the Lord over the sinner. We read at one point in the scripture, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. God revealing himself as gracious and merciful, a prayer inditing and a prayer hearing God. And where does God the Lord make himself known in this way? In the person of his Son. He believed in the Lord. You remember in John 8, where Jesus was speaking to the Jews and he said, "Your father Abraham," that is their father according to the flesh, "your father Abraham believed to see my day. He saw it and was glad." But the thing that so clearly sets forth that it was Christ that God revealed to Abraham, it was Christ who he believed in, here is what we read in the text: "He counted it to him for righteousness." That leaves us with no doubt as to whom Abraham saw at this time, with the eye of faith. "For he is Jehovah said, Kenya, the Lord our righteousness." But look how the Holy Spirit puts it. "He counted it to him for righteousness." It was accounted unto him. Now Abraham was not justified by his faith in the sense that because Abraham had this faith, his righteousness consisted in the faith. No, that cannot be. Why cannot it be? Because for there to be a righteousness which is Abraham's, there must be a dealing with his unrighteousness. For a man to be righteous in the sight of God, his sins must be put away. His disobedience must be overcome. All his wrongness must be dealt with. You see, Adam was righteous in God's eyes from everlasting. I quoted that hymn, number 10, didn't I, just now? "Then in the glass of his decree, Christ and his church appeared as one." When was then? In eternity past. Why? Because God appointed that his Son would come and die for these people, having lived that perfect life for them. And because it was the word of God, even in eternity past, it was as though it was done. Because it was the word of God which cannot be broken. And as God preached then to Abraham at this time, he preached of his Son. You know, we have those records, don't we, in the scriptures of sermons that the Holy Spirit has blessed. There are some in the Acts of the Apostles. There are some, of course, of Christ himself, the perfect preacher. And here we have this sermon here, preached by God the Father to Abraham. A short sermon. And the fact that Abraham, under that sermon, believed in the Lord shows the power of the Holy Spirit to work in a sinner's heart. It's not eloquence of the preacher. It's not the multitude of the preacher's words. It's the power of Almighty God. And he believed in the Lord. You know, when the Lord does as he did for Abraham here, he preaches to him of Christ. It's in answer to that exercise the Lord has given him. I touched on it, didn't I? In speaking of Abraham's question, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Now you see, when a child of God comes to the Lord by the leading of the Spirit, Lord, how can I be saved? I've tried, Lord, to keep thy law and I cannot. I try to believe and I cannot. I try to love thee and I cannot. I try to walk rightly, but I cannot. I try to get myself above the things of this world, and I cannot. Lord, I try to please thee, but I cannot. Then God preaches of his Son. The preaching of the physician to the sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. Oh, the suitability of this promise. The suitability of this blessed near kinsman. Naomi said to Ruth, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. She arose and went, came softly and lay at his feet. As the father preaches to a sinner that they have a near kinsman who is God, manifest in the flesh. Flesh of their flesh, bone of their bone, but oh, sin, a sinless brother. Oh, a brother whose love exceeds the love of any earthly brother. A brother whose kindness exceeds. What does the Holy Spirit record of Boaz? He was a mighty man of wealth. All the wealth, the riches of Christ. Verily God, but the poverty of Christ. Verily man, the poverty of Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. As the Father says of his Son, behold my servant, the one who I have commanded and who is my willing servant, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. Not your works, sinner, but the works of my Son. You cannot, oh, how this suits this poor sinner who has tried their own works and failed. Who has tried to believe and cannot. My dear friend, you must come as an unbeliever. And if Christ is preached to you, he won't, the true Christ, my dear friend, listen to me. Listen to me, my dear friend, you young ones and older ones here tonight. The true Christ, the Word of God says there'll be many false Christs, but the true Christ doesn't need you of yourself to believe on him. The true Christ is the author and the finisher of faith. He doesn't need you to repent of yourself, because he is exalted of God to give repentance to Israel, a remission of sin. That faith, that repentance, that love, is all part of this great salvation, a perfect Saviour, a complete salvation. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And he believed in the Lord. You know, believing in the Lord is spoken of by Paul in Hebrews 4, isn't it? We which have believed do enter into rest. Why? Because the Lord who we believe in has finished the work. Ah, you see, what God set before Abraham here wasn't something that Abraham was going to do, not something was Abraham could do, had done. It was something God would do. And when Jesus had fulfilled that last scripture concerning his sufferings, in his my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." Daniel was given the prophecy. Messiah cut off, but not for himself, to make an end of sin, to finish the transgression, to bring in an everlasting righteousness. So where it says here, he counted it to him, it speaks of this in the experience of the Lord's people. Faith is the grace by which a sinner experiences justification. The well-known parable, the prayer of the publican, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." What was he praying for? He was praying that everything that Christ came to do would be accounted to him. That's God being merciful. The mercy of God taking your sins and accounting them to Christ and taking Christ's righteousness and accounting it to you. And it is known by faith is the best robe. That robe wrought out by Christ, the God-man. That perfect obedience. Oh, that holiness, that righteousness, and that perfect death, that sin-atoning death. Oh, sinner, to believe in him in Gethsemane, grappling with the powers of darkness, sweating blood, amazing sight. Ah, my dear friend, oh, for that believing in him as he is set forth in Gethsemane, in the judgment hall. Oh, well might those Greeks say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified." But what must he go through to be glorified? That ignominious death, those depths that no man can fathom, those depths that even angels do not know, those depths that are known only to him and his Father and the Holy Ghost, but those depths so deep, so profound, my dear friend, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne that this glorious person occupies tonight to plead what? His blood, and his blood alone. Abraham could sing, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That which he wrought was not for himself. He speaks, doesn't he, himself in the gospel. "He that hath two coats, let him give to him that hath none." Abraham had none. "What wilt thou give me, sinner?" Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. "If thou knewest the gift of God." Poor sinner here tonight,
whose wrongness is deeper than you can describe, because you're wrong before a God, the God who is infinite. And therefore your wrongness is infinite, it is immeasurable. But behold who it is that dies at Calvary, who it is that cries out, "It is finished." It's that infinite person, the God-man. Ah, sinner, grace and grace alone. The Lord killeth. I'm crucified with Christ. You say, "Oh, that I might be." The Lord help you and me to ask him, "Lord, crucify this self, that I no more." All this gift of righteousness, freely bestowed. Beauty for ashes, the beauty of the Lord. He imputed it, he accounted it to him for righteousness. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation, with the robe of righteousness. He that hath two coats, the Son of God has an eternal righteousness that consists in his divine person, his eternal Godhead and his sacred holy humanity, and the union of those two natures. That's his righteousness. But he has another. What he wrought out for his people. Oh, the grace of God, that when the Saviour, every moment of his life, obeyed the law perfectly, he was able to. Paul says, "The law is spiritual, but I am carnal." The Saviour wasn't. No. That righteousness, he had no need of himself. He's doing it for his people. And where God preaches this with power to his people, a light. Oh, my dear friend, what does Christ say? "I am the light of the world." To that poor sinner who's crying out tonight, "What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? How shall I, a barren woman, a barren man, how shall I be fruitful?" This promised high priest who shall make that offering, not like Isaac, should be spared from dying, but is set forth by that ram slain. The blood ran. His body was burnt. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Every sin blotted out. Every failing completely overcome. "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." But what had she said? "I am black. Look not upon me, because I am black." But he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It is an eternal righteousness, a never-ending one. Abraham is now decked in that glorious robe, and will be forever and forever. From God's eye forever hiding sins of every shape and name. And why? Why? Because of what was done at Calvary. The cross. of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The collection being taken today is for the Gasby Memorial Christmas Fund, and after the benediction we will sing the doxology. Let us now sing hymn number 233 to the tune Covenant Blessing 737. The sinner that truly believes and trusts in his crucified God, his justification receives, redemption in full through his blood. O thousands and thousands of foes, against him in malice unite, their rage he through Christ can oppose, led forth by the Spirit to fight. Hymn number 233.
thank thee for thy word. Do bless it to us. Raise in power what is sown in weakness. Forgive the sins in my preaching and in our hearing. Take us each under thy kind care. Preserve us, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Tune Old 100th.